Don't you just get a wonderful sense this morning of just the beautiful love of God here with us, in us, among us, and as we've just heard, like through us to others, children, babies, our family and friends. What a wonderful God of love we're celebrating and resting in this morning. And all of us here need to know that love. All of us here need to know we're loved. Victor Hugo, in his famous novel, Les Miserables, did I say that okay? I'm terrible at accents, French. He said it this way. The supreme happiness of life, the supreme happiness of life consists in the conviction that one is loved. Loved for one's own sake. Let us say, rather, loved in spite of oneself. But we don't need Victor Hugo to tell us this. There is something in us all that knows this reality, that we need to be loved. John, I wonder if you could just put the video on. I don't know if you saw the video this week on the BBC website. I'm just going to play in the background there. It's a little four-year-old girl who very quickly got stage fright at her ballet concert and froze until she had a rescuer. Her dad comes out to rescue her in her time of need. And he picks her up and you think, well, this is a nice video, but why did they put it on the BBC website? Well, it's because he didn't just take her off, but he finished the routine with her to much applause and great approval from the audience. Although I did wonder, I wonder how the parents of the other kids felt. You know, back off, old man. You're blocking my daughter from my video camera just now. Now, I'll be honest, that video got me. I was in a bit of a mess at the end of it. Because no matter who we are, no matter how tough or hardened, somewhere in all of us, we know how it feels to be like that little girl in that video. No, I don't mean with the wand and the tutu on. Hopefully that's not the case for any of us here. But I just mean in that sense of being vulnerable. We all know what it means to feel vulnerable. I remember some years ago meeting with one of the men from this church who, all I'll say is, he's just not a wimp like I am, this man, okay? He's someone who I wouldn't want to mess with, okay? All the men here are thinking, yeah, he's talking about me. I'm probably not talking about you. But before I knew it, this brother, just in a cafe, with tears in his eyes, was just sharing honestly with me about a recent moment he had been in where he just felt in deep, deep need, was super vulnerable, and how that impacted him, how he realized that he needed help. And what I think most of us love about that video is that we can all relate to the sense of fear, the sense of need, this vulnerability that this little girl has. And then we love the fact that she is rescued from that. She finds peace and help in her time of need. And that feels right to us, that she is rescued, that she is helped. It moves us. Unless we've become cynical or numb, it feels good for us to behold the assurance of love for someone who is in need. We all need to know that we're loved, and we've been thinking about that a little bit this morning. You see, this is why mainly music exists, to show love to families and children. This should be one of the blessings of church family, to know love, no matter how you're feeling this morning. It's why people are giving up time and annual leave and money to go and bless kids in Cape Town, because they know that these kids should know that they are loved. This was Paul's heart for the church in Ephesus. He wanted the Ephesian church to know that they were loved. So if you've not already, turn to Ephesians 3, and we're going to start at verse 14 there. We are pondering in the series some of the prayers of the Bible, and we are reflecting on what we can learn from these prayers. And here, Paul is coming to the end of one half of his letter, and he gives the Ephesians and us a little window into how he prays for them. So, verse 14, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." So you get a sense, even here, of Paul's heart. Praying on bended knee was not very usual in that day. Prayer was normally done standing up. But here is Paul on his knees praying to his Father in heaven, who is sovereign over all. That's the next verse. "I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." So here's what Paul is praying for. Verse 16, "that according to the riches of his glory," that is to say that God has infinite resources at his disposal to accomplish this task for which Paul is about to pray. So we talk about knowing that you're loved. You struggle with that? I know that there are many of us here who struggle with knowing that they're loved. Well, Paul is praying this prayer according to, in relation with, from the resource of the riches of God's glory. That's how Paul is praying. And then he goes on. "That from those riches, God would grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So in these verses, there is an amazing backdrop of the reality that I was just speaking about a moment. God with us, God in us. So you see that right at the start, verses 16 and 17, about Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith. We see it right at the end, that he's praying that the Ephesian church would be filled with all the fullness of God. And within that glorious framework, recognizing that we're not just individuals who are learning things or trying to be good people, but this is about the presence of God with us, in us, through us, by his grace. Within that glorious framework, Paul's heart is that the Ephesians would know God's love. He says it there in verse 17, being rooted and grounded in love. So these are two different pictures here. One is from gardening and one is from architecture, but making the same point, emphasizing depth and strength as opposed to superficiality. Love, Paul is saying, is to play a fundamental role in who you are and how you walk the path that you have before you. It's crucial to know that you're loved. You're to be rooted. You're to be established and grounded in this love. John Stott says, "Love is to be the soil in which this church's life is rooted. Love is to be the foundation on which their life is built." So this is so fundamental. We see it in verse 18. Where Paul then is praying for them for strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. And that's all it actually says. It's a somewhat curious little phrase. There are a number of different interpretations as to what it means, but most of those are in line with the NIV. If you've got the NIV Bible, then the verse, they add on the love of Christ, the breadth and the length and the height and depth of the love of Christ. And most people think that's what Paul is getting at here, partly because it goes on to be even more clear in the following verse. What is he praying for them? Verse 19. He is praying that they will know the love of Christ. Get this. This is awesome. He's praying that they'll know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Paul wants them to know that which is beyond knowing. Paul wants them to understand that which passes understanding. Paul wants them to embrace that which none of us in our own strength can really get our heads around. He is on his knees praying that the Ephesians would grasp as much as they can this side of heaven, the extent of the love of Christ. And this is where we get this beautiful poetic flow in verse 18 where it helps us when he's saying the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. Paul is trying to communicate to us about the scale of this all-encompassing nature of Jesus' love towards us. Paul wants the Ephesians, and I believe God wants us through these words today to experience strength from God, strength not to love God more in this section, but here he's praying for strength to know more of God's love. And this is not some mere intellectual exercise. We all have things that we know, that we have worked hard to know, which do not fundamentally change how we live our lives. But this is not an intellectual knowing. It's not even about understanding the scope of God's love for others. This word is gnosko in Greek, and it is a knowing that you perceive. It's a knowing that you feel. It's something that you don't only know, but you become known by this type of love. It's a word of real intimacy, and it's something to be not just acknowledged, assented to intellectually, but it's to be understood and embraced. And that's what Paul's praying. Know this love. Wrap your world and your life around this wonderful, limitless love of God. That's what Paul's praying for. Now, this is not easy. For many reasons, it is not easy to know to the degree that Paul's praying for here, this limitless love of God. Few reasons. We get busy. I know some of you are just flapping, just trying to keep up with all that you have before you. And in that place of busyness, there's no space for rest. There's no space for reflection. It's hard to know you're loved if you're working an 80-hour week. The challenges of normal life come before us, paying bills that we're worried about and sorting insurance that we don't want to sort, and normal life. We perhaps become conditioned. I'm sure there are some here who over some decades have been conditioned to have such a low view of ourselves that we think ourselves unlovable, even by God, or maybe in your mind especially, by God. We stumble into sin and shame. We numb ourselves from certain feelings for fear of what might be exposed in us if we started to feel. Might I just say, for what it's worth, I think this is something we need to pray about in Hillview Community Church. I think there is among us, me and all of us, to varying degrees, a sense that we have numbed ourselves and are perhaps not opening our lives to God's love as we might. You can test that. And some of those reasons and many others, without God's grace, are real and significant problems, and they would leave us in a place of great despair. But that's not what Paul wants for the Ephesians. So he prays in a very interesting way. Did you spot it? What does he pray for them that they would know this love? Well, he prays for strength. Verse 16. That according to the riches of his glory, God might grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Second part of verse 17. That you'd be rooted and grounded. Do you see this language? Language of strength. Look at verse 18. That you may have strength to comprehend this incredible love. That's fascinating. That's not how I often think about strength, to know love. You know, you might think of strength to cope with difficulties that come our way. Strength to fight back in this battle that we find ourselves in day by day. But here, Paul is praying that they would know strength to know the love of God, and that everything else would flow from that point. Dear friends, sometimes we need to know strength to know God's love. just over 5 years ago, the son of U.S. mega pastor Rick Warren, Rick and Kay Warren, Matthew, committed suicide. And from very early on in their process of grief, Rick and Kay Warren were very honest about how they journeyed through lamentation and sorrow beyond words and pain, which only, I guess, a few people can understand in this world. Just as an aside, there's a brilliant interview from them just over a year after Matthew took his life on the HTB Leadership Conference. You can Google it and find it there. It's about 55 minutes. But just yesterday, this came across my attention again because Kay Warren tweeted the following. Someone recently asked how I survived my son's suicide. I told him I've sent my spiritual roots deep into the character of God for more than 50 years. Circumstances tried to brutally rip out the tree of my faith, but the roots held. Yes, that's strength. That is supernatural strength from God, which we should be praying for every single day, every single week we gather. God, help us build our lives on a strong foundation of your love. It's a strength from God which enables us to know his character, his love, his faithfulness, his comfort, his peace, his goodness, the breadth and length and the height and depth of his perfect love, bigger than any tragedy that we could ever face, bigger than any internal turmoil that we might know, bigger than any argument that you might have with God or frustration that you feel towards him, bigger than any pattern of sin or boredom or numbness in your life. Big enough to sustain us through moves to China and moves to Houston. Big enough to be spread around to kids in South African townships. Big enough to reach every family connected to mainly music. How we pray that they would be more and more integrated into the depth of life in the family of Hillview and Kintore Community Church. Big enough God's love is to lead us on and provide clarity and direction as we are in this moment of seeking his path for the future. Dear friends, know this amazing love of God. Join with Paul for prayer. Join in prayer to know the strength from God that would enable you to know his perfect love. It can only come through Jesus. This is a miracle. This is why Paul ends the section of the letter the way he does in the very next verse. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You may be feeling this morning so defeated, so angry, so vulnerable that you couldn't ever imagine knowing to the depth of your being this type of love. Well, guess what? God is able. Guess what? God is more than able. Guess what? God is more than able to do the things that you haven't even felt the courage to even ask for so far in our time together now. Just like the father in the video came and gave strength and gave dignity and gave hope and continued this beautiful dance that we saw, so in the same way, God comes to us. He has done that through Jesus Christ, his son, who has made a way for us to come back into the arms of the Father. And God comes to us. He can come to you this morning and he can pick you up. He can hold you strong and safe, and he can gently lead you on in this beautiful dance of great joy through challenge and confusion along the way. God can lift you and lead you forward. Pray for strength this morning. Not gritty resolve in itself, but strength and courage with supernatural ability, as we've heard testified from the Watt family and in many other ways, to know the supernatural love of God. Know you're loved today. So, Father, we bow our hearts now. And just in the quiet, we just open our lives to you. And we pray that you would grant us strength now to know this incredible love through Jesus Christ. Lift us, Father. Lift us, we pray. Don't worry about the silence. Just ask God to reveal his love for you. I'm sure some of you have done yesterday and in these days. You've just rested with eyes closed and felt the warmth of the sun in your face. This is a space where we're just resting. And just ask that the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that would shine on you just now, and that you would know the warmth of the love of God.